Apologies, everybody. It is 8:34, and you are, in fact, tuned in to the Walking Dead Online Viewing Party, Season 9, Episode 12, Guardians. I ask you guys to bear with me for a moment. We are having a technical difficulty that I am working on with my notes for tonight that have gone AWOL. So I'm going to put on some music for a quick moment to keep you guys entertained while I finish looking for this stuff. And hopefully I can find it quickly and we can get back to business. So I appreciate your patience and I'll be right back with you. Thank you so much. Okay, guys, we are still having technical difficulties, and I really appreciate your patience. Apparently, we had some kind of power outage, and my laptop contained my notes for this week's episode, and I cannot seem to locate where it has saved them. We are definitely, I apologize for being so frazzled. I'm really trying to get this as functional as possible, as quickly as possible. And hold on. Pardon me just a moment again. Alrighty, guys, I believe that we have the notes recovered now, and I am so appreciative of your patience. I'm going to go ahead and start off with this. I know we're 10 minutes into the show, and I'm sorry about that. We will have plenty of time to talk about the notes I have for you guys. Anyway, welcome to the Walking Dead Online Viewing Party, Season 9, Episode 11. This is called Bounty. And this is the, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. We have 5 more episodes after tonight until the season finale. I appreciate you guys joining us. I'm host Casey Shapiro, coming to you on blogtalkradio.com, thanks to our host, NDB Media. So tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. So typically we start our show about a half hour before the new episodes air live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together and then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer to have our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 at any time between 8:30 and 9 p.m., and you can call during the live show. You will be screened and muted until the commercial break when we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, please join us in our live chat room where we will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact here. And we usually post links for that on our Facebook page and our Twitter account, my Twitter account. So there's the links for that. It's the same link, if you are listening now, that you would use to do that. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you could still go to the episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. So, welcome to Season 9, Episode 11 of The Walking Dead. Tonight's episode is entitled Bounty. And I'm just scrolling down real quick to make sure some stuff. Yes, okay. Fabulous. So the official AMC synopsis for Bounty goes as follows. The savage group led by Alpha confronts the Hilltop in a harrowing attempt to retrieve her daughter. A supply run for the kingdom turns into a dangerous quest. And I have heard a few rumblings about that part of the episode as well, but I'm not going to hedge too much, even though it has been publicly hinted at. It's this supply run for the kingdom is possibly not going to go well. Additional synopses, which I usually get for you guys. This first one is from bleedingcool.com. And this one is entitled The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 11, Bounty. Wrong answer, Daryl. And this is written by Ray Fluke, F-L-O-O-K. And this was written yesterday. And Ray says, through Lydia's myriad mangled memories, reinforced over the years through mental and physical abuse, Walking Dead viewers witness firsthand Alpha's disturbing origins as well as the birth of the Whisperers. By the end of the episode, it was the viewers at our Hilltop Heroes who finally got to meet the real Alpha face to disturbing face. We're glad Daryl and Henry got some quality time with Lydia to try to work on a little deprogramming, but that's about to end in a big way. As we see in the following preview for this week's episode, Bounty, Alpha wants her daughter back, and she's not leaving a lot of room to negotiate. While Daryl and Alpha are having a meeting in the mines, Carol and Ezekiel are on a mission for the kingdom. Will it end up being their first one-on-one with the Whispers and end up the same way it did for Jesus? That is... Okay. Yeah, the rest of this is just promotional chit-chat and nonsense. So that is the first extended synopsis comment. I have four of them tonight. Typically, I only have three, but I found another one that I like, so I'm including that one too. So let's go to the second one. I'm going to check the chat room. Joan has been exceedingly patient with me. Those of you who listen later on, we would really love to have you guys come and listen with us live. I know some of you can't always keep up the show as it's happening, but those of you who can are very much missed. Okay, so the next synopsis is from undeadwalking.com. This is by Sarah Beth Pollock, one of the regular writers for this show for them. And she says, this week's episode of The Walking Dead brings the Whisperers to the gates of Hilltop. Last week's Omega provided some critical background for young Lydia and her mysterious mother, Alpha. Lydia didn't seem to think that Alpha would come back for her, but it turns out she was wrong. Daryl doesn't have a problem standing up for Lydia. He can see the evidence of physical and emotional abuse the girl has suffered, and he's sympathetic. But in denying Lydia to Alpha, he's risking a war with this mysterious new group of people who wear walker skins and move in herds of the dead. Episode description, which we are skipping. The last time we saw Carol was in the mid-season finale as she and Diane made their way back to the kingdom. Carol had just dropped Henry off. Pardon me a moment. So sorry, I had to sneeze. Carol had just dropped Henry off to apprentice as a blacksmith. She had no idea he was thrown in a cell for getting drunk with the Hilltop teens, nor does she know what happened with Jesus. And she certainly doesn't know that the newest villains are outside Hilltop. Since we don't know much about where the Whisperers came from, we don't know if they already know about the other communities or not. Commentary from me, I am going to assume not, because they haven't harassed them, number one. And number two, Lydia was pumping Henry for information when she was in the cell, and she wouldn't bother doing that if this was already common knowledge. Anyway, if they're moving with the herd, then it's possible they've already done a grand circle tour of the area. Henry's roadmap for Lydia might not make a bit of difference at this point. They could be everywhere already. And that is the last of that particular review. And let me pull up the third one for you. This is from a source we don't use often, express.co.uk. And let me pull that one up. The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 11 promo, What Will Happen in Bounty? This was written by Neela Debnath, published back on February 18th on Monday. So she says, Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 11 will ramp up the action with Alpha and the Whisperers taking on Hilltop and Kingdom. Here's a look ahead at next week's episode of The Walking Dead called Bounty. Episode 11 is titled Bounty, and we'll see the battle lines drawn with Lydia still being held at Hilltop. Bounty will be airing on AMC in America on Sunday, February 24th, blah, blah, blah. The Walking Dead Season 9 enters a new era with Rick Grimes now gone and the remaining characters trying to continue on without their leader. Just repeating the trailer information. This is not useful. Let's get down here. Okay. So, next commentary. Alpha reveals she also has hostages and looks ready to kill them in order to get Lydia back. Daryl looks furious as Tara tells him we have to do this. Carol and Ezekiel appear concerned as violence looks set to break out with the Whisperers. The promo cuts to a group of Hungry Walkers trying to break in as members of the Kingdom appear on their supply run. Daryl is seen next, striding to meet Alpha and simply saying, you can't have her. Wrong answer, Alpha responds as the Whisperers advance towards Hilltop as they prepare to take Lydia by force. The teaser comes to a head with a montage of shots as the two sides clash. Bounty comes after this week's episode entitled Omega, which delves into both Lydia and Alpha's backstory at the start of the outbreak. Lydia was revealed to have rewritten her own memories to help cope and process with the trauma of the outbreak as she recounted her past life to Henry. Henry also happened to be in the prison after getting quite drunk at Hilltop, leading the youngster and Lydia to form a bond. But Daryl soon put a stop to that when he angrily scolded Henry for fraternizing with the enemy. What the hell is wrong with you? Telling her you got family at the Kingdom? As the episode went on, fans learned that Lydia had been lying about most of her memories, even the way her father died and her mother's abuse. Lydia's true memories came to light during her imprisonment as Henry and Daryl tried to convince her settlements like Hilltop could thrive in the new world. Alpha's daughter now remembers the truth about her mother's cruel behavior, which could change how she feels about the Whisperers and may help broker a peace deal if she remains with Hilltop. Yeah, I don't envision that being a peace anything, to be honest. So that is that one. And I'm going to double check in the chat room. Let me see. I don't know if I'm missing anything. I don't see Joan having said anything in a little while, so I hope that she's hearing me. But I'm going to refresh the chat. I know she hasn't said anything in the last few minutes. Okay, so let me pull up the last synopsis for you guys. It's 8:49. So we have a little tiny bit of time before you go live. Paste and go. This is from comicbook.com also. Okay, Walking Dead. Hilarious episode 9/11 clip released by Brandon Davis. This was written on February 21st. So, skipping official synopses, blah, blah, blah. In the clip above, Carolyn and King Ezekiel lead a charge of Kingdom residents against walkers in a movie theater. Kind of weird. It's quite clear that this is the dangerous quest in reference to the episode's synopsis. While details have not been revealed regarding the circumstances, it is the King's decision to obtain a certain item which has led the group to this scenario. Music is rarely used in The Walking Dead. Well, that's true. The Walking Dead. Fear the Walking Dead did it more often. And that's kind of what led to my little thing where I do the music each week. And when it is featured, it often sets a tone, which is probably how later on you will find out that I have a sneak preview of what music is being used this week. Fitting King Ezekiel's joyous and outlandish attitude, the tune in the clip above offers a lighthearted and somewhat funny vibe to contrast the very serious scenario of fighting with the undead. It could be a sign of how far the characters have come as they consider the walkers to be a less serious threat than human enemies in many instances. And that is the end of those. And okay, Jonas is here and can hear me just fine, so this is good to know. And I am going to skip down to the next part. It's 8:51. We've got time for this. It's the writers and directors profile. So tonight's episode was directed by Mira Menon, M-E-N-O-N, and written by Matt Negrete. So Mira Menon is an Indian-American director, writer, and editor. Her feature directorial debut, Farrago's Bang, screened at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2013 and was awarded the inaugural Nora Ephron Prize by Tribeca and Vogue. In 2016, Menon also wrote and directed the short film The Press Conference for Refinery 29's Shatterbox Anthology, a series of 12 shorts written and directed by women. The short premiered on Refinery 29's website on September 23, 2016. She currently resides in Los Angeles and is married to cinematographer Paul Gleason. Menon cited her father as her earliest inspiration for filmmaking, using his camera to shoot films with her next-door neighbor. Since her father, Vijayan Menon, is a film producer, Menon was exposed to filmmaking from a young age. Her father is also a founder of Terra Arts, an English cultural ambassador for South India, showcasing musicals and films. Menon says that while her parents encouraged her to pursue the arts, her father advised her to look at it as a hobby. Because of this way of thinking about film, Menon did not seriously consider filmmaking as a career until she attended Columbia University and took classes that were taught by professional filmmakers. Menon received a BA in English and art history from Columbia, but while she was there, she began directing films and discovered a passion for the craft. She went on to receive an MFA from the USC School of Cinematic Arts. Menon recently directed The Abyss, not the film, which is the name of the 2019 episode of The Punisher TV show. Tonight's episode will be Menon's first time working on anything within the Walking Dead franchise. And the writer of tonight's episode is Matt Negrete. Matthew Negrete is an American screenwriter and producer known for his works on shows such as Unfabulous, The Walking Dead, and White Collar. For Disney, he served as a writer, storyboard artist, and executive producer for the Disney Channel animated series American Dragon, Jake Long. He also served as a writer for Kim Possible. Matt Negrete has 22 Walking Dead writer credits, including tonight, starting with Indifference, Season 4, Episode 4 in 2013. His latest prior writing episode was What Comes After, Season 9, Episode 5, Rick's Farewell Episode. Matt also has 42 various producer credits for The Walking Dead. Co-executive producer for 42 episodes, 2016 to 2019. Supervising producer, 16 episodes, 2015 to 16. Producer for 16 episodes, 2014 and 15. Co-producer, 16 episodes, 2013 and 14. He was on The Talking Dead in 2017 after the episode Say Yes, Season 7, Episode 12. And I'm actually going to come over and give some applause to these guys for their work on the show. So, okay. It is 8:55. I will try to get some trivia in before we go dark. Tonight's episode is the 126th episode of the series overall. It is the first appearance of the character William, played by Jason Graham. There is no spoiler or teaser info about what his character is. I'm going to assume he is a significant whisperer, but hard to say. Last appearance of Paul Rovia as a flashback. This would also be Tom Payne's 25th appearance on the show. Just squeeze that in. This is also Cooper Andrews' 25th appearance on the show. He plays Jerry. This episode reveals that Jerry and Nabila have two children together, a boy and a girl. Uncredited cast. Speaking of which, Autumn Azul as Nabila's daughter, who's Jerry's partner, and Micah King as Nabila's son. Also, Michael Lehman as a Kingdom resident and Brandon Stoker as a Kingdom resident. That's very amusing. Okay, so last episode trivia, confirmed deaths. Matias, who is confirmed in the shelter, Frank in the shelter, Rose in the shelter, Henry and Benjamin's mother, confirmed fate by Henry telling the story, the two horses that the walkers were eating, and several unnamed shelter refugees. in the flashback. It is 8:56. I will continue with trivia as long as I can. We're about to go dark in a minute. So last week's episode, the title of the episode, Omega, is a reference to Alpha's backstory being told by Lydia. The episode hints that the apocalypse may have started somewhere around late August to mid-September of 2010. It's already known that the apocalypse started in 2010 thanks to Fear the Walking Dead and the death of James McAllister, as his gravesite reads that he died in 2010. It is hinted that the outbreak started sometime in August thanks to the billboard seen in the second episode of the series. It's hinted that the apocalypse started late in August because Matias says it's been 23 days since they've been trapped in their hideout, and the fact that Lydia asks if the Halloween season is nearby. Although I am pointing out, to be fair, that some of those memories may have been fabricated, so I don't know if the time is internally consistent or not, but that's a fair point for now. The flashbacks take place over the course of at least 20 days, as the sign on the wall states it's day 23 at the beginning and day 43 when Matias is killed. The Hilltop mother holding the baby was actually holding a prop, and the sound of the baby crying was digitally added into the episode. I'm not really sure whether that's trivia. That's kind of just doing your job on the show. Starting with this episode, Samantha Morton, who plays Alpha, has been added to the opening credits. Daryl shows a knowledge of how abusive parents work, hinting in an abusive past of his own. That's not a hint. He's flogged that as entire plot lines, for God's sake. He and Carol bonded over it. Henry realizes that Daryl may have been abused as well. That may be new to Henry. Okay, 8:58, so we don't have time for a couple more of these. Let's see. Daryl reveals that he, Enid, and a few others took turns listening in on Henry's conversations with Lydia, which was seen starting at the end of the episode adaptation. Henry's jail sentence imposed upon him in Evolution ends, and he is released from jail by Daryl. His and the other teenagers' brief escape from the Hilltop in the same episode is also mentioned. And got time for a couple more. Magna's group are revealed to have survived of Coalport. And I have to be honest with you, I'm a DC native of multiple generations. I have no idea what Coalport is. So I can only assume it's something within walking distance of that area, but it's not part of the DC area in general. They survived the destruction of Coalport because they left their post when it was attacked. And Lydia mentioning that the world belonged to the dead and they're just living in it is a callback to when Enid told Carl the same thing in the episode Try. All right. Alpha and them are arriving now, so actually I am going to pause and I will come back to these when we come back. But I'm going to go ahead and go dark because we're going to go live in a couple of seconds. Thanks for your patience. Sorry about tonight, and I'll see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:07, and we are having a longer intro to the first commercial break. Typically, the last couple have been super short. I'm going to actually start with a 6 on this one, and let's see what Joan has to say. Let's see, I'm going to go back and, oh, I got real excited because I am a DC area native, so I'm always watching shows, for example, like Bones, and other shows that take place in the DC metro area somewhere, and I know that there's a lot of details to keep straight. But to me, if you have a really big show and you're going to bother to explain that it's in a certain area, you need to do your homework. And your continuity staff needs to include some local natives in there, because I've seen so many rookie mistakes on this show, on Bones, on, if I stop and think about other shows, West Wing, House of Cards, people said stuff that was wrong. It's not too egregious on most of these shows, but this one has had some weirdness that I know is covering for the fact that they're still shooting in Atlanta, even though they've been to two other cities now. They were in Richmond, they were in Alexandria, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I get excited because they said Falls Church properly. This is an a town and a city. It's weird. It's a very odd construct up here in Northern Virginia. It's in Fairfax County. There's Alexandria and Arlington right next to D.C., and then you start getting into the real counties because those are both just counties and cities together, whereas Falls Church has a little tiny city of Falls Church inside a bigger town of town of Falls Church in the county. It's a very peculiar place, but it's one of the oldest codified cities in that area. And typically what you see from the rookies that don't know anything about D.C. is they say the Falls Church. And there is the Falls Church, a literal church for which the city is named, and that's in the historic district. But anyhow, I was excited because I said it properly, so the natives are not wincing and going, you guys know nothing about this place. Backing up for a couple other comments, I had thought that Carol recut her hair again, but as Joan pointed out and I saw later, it really was just that she had it tucked under a shirt or something. I thought it was interesting because she didn't cut it super short like when her abusive ex was around, but she didn't cut it at all. I just somehow missed that she tucked it. Joan has said, this may be the backstory on the conflict between Maggie and Michonne. Yes, I do happen to know a official spoiler that was put out that a couple episodes from now we're going to find out about the marks on Daryl and Michonne's back. And it may have something to do with the rift. They are going to address those two plot lines within the next 5 episodes before the season closes. Joan has mentioned about my getting excited about Falls Church. Maybe they're finally learning, at least on this show. Hopefully it wasn't a happy accident. And also, wow, there's a lot more whispers than I thought. I voted 6. Joan is starting with a 6 because of the return of her favorites from the kingdom and the Tom Payne flashback. We are back, so I'm going to shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number 2. Hey, guys, 9:15, commercial break number 2. Welcome back. Joan and I are both 6'5". It seems like this episode is progressing a little better than last week, which is pretty awesome. I guess, you know, we're showing the expertise of Matt Negrete, who brought us the 5th episode of this season, which is Rick's final episode. So somebody who would be trusted with that obviously is really masterful at crafting their plot. We've both agreed that we love Carol, and I pretty much love everybody that's going on now. I liked that Paul wandered by in a flashback, but I don't really understand the context. I guess that was supposed to be some time ago that happened. A little bit fuzzy. Joan, as you often do, you can maybe explain that to me. Jonah says, Ezekiel's a smart man who knows when to admit defeat, try to keep anything from Carol. Yes, and Carol does not miss anything because she has, you know, the mom vision and all of this. So let me go back to my notes. I was reading you guys trivia, and we have a couple of minutes where I might be able to squeeze this in. So let me pick up where I left off. We were talking about Colport and Lydia. Okay, it seems that Lydia may be suffering from some form of PTSD. I don't consider that trivia, but you know, it is interesting to note for those of you for whom it was not super obvious. The shelter survivors fail to put down Matias after he's accidentally killed by Alpha, as they don't know any better. Yeah, I had been wondering about that, which also indicates that flashback goes back to the beginning, before it was common knowledge that you needed to do that. Is this similar to how Rick's group was unaware that everyone reanimates no matter what, or no matter how they die, until the episode Better Angels, when Randall Culver and Shane Walsh reanimated after suffering ordinary deaths, not by walkers? Enid is stated by Henry to now be the Hilltop Doctor. That's kind of interesting. He also references Earl Sutton when he tells Lydia they have a blacksmith. Henry tells Daryl a story about overhearing his father asking why his mother, father asking his mother, and he's referring there to Ezekiel asking Carol, not his biological parents, why she kept her hair so short. And his mother told his father it was because of the abuse she suffered from her first husband, and it took her a long time to feel safe enough to let it grow again. This is presumably a reference to Carol, whose first husband Ed was known to be abusive before Ed's death in the episode Vatos in season 1. Before the 6-year time gap, Carol always kept her hair short, though. She let it grow a bit following Ed's death. That's true. When they did the first season 1 and season 2, her hair was almost military short. And then she kind of let it grow to about pixie length or so. To be honest, long hair in this environment just leads to walkers being able to... Oh, tonight's code is dead or alive, one word, by the way. In case, you know, we haven't had a code for a couple of weeks. I know, Joan, you had been fussing about the fact that we hadn't seen a code in a while. So now we know. So there was that. Sorry I had to interrupt. 9:19, we may have a couple minutes. Let me try to finish up some trivia here. So let's see. Okay, yeah, Carol's hair. And this episode was the lowest viewed episode in the show's history with only 4.54 million viewers. Although, to be fair, this is really kind of just nitpicking because there are several episodes that are fairly close to that in lower viewership. And, you know, it's the middle of the season. In season 9, you do kind of get some attrition of the fan base by that time because it's a very long time to stay with the show. And I appreciate that you guys are doing that. So there were no goofs or errors or bloopers listed for last week. We are back. I will see you guys at break number 3 with birthdays. And we are at commercial break number 3, so let's go ahead and get them scores up. And Joan and I are on the same wavelength, 675 for this next little chunk. And here's some of the comments in between. Let's see. Okay, we caught the password that I gave you guys, dead or alive. Joan and I agree that there's kind of a chance that Lydia is still faking her stories. Like, this is some kind of inception of bullshit because she told this one story first and then now it's not her real memories or anything. And she said that her mother wouldn't come and get her, but her mother's there. And the whole thing is kind of sick and abusive, and it's obviously been going on approximately 6 or 7 years at least. Well, no, if we go back 6 or 7 years since they lost Rick, and then years before that, it's been going on almost a decade. That's a lot of abuse and a lot of fucking up a child's head. So God knows how she's learned to lie by now, even if she is afraid of her mother, and no idea why she would suddenly want to trust an outside group to get her out. So whatever. I've said maybe Alpha is psycho. Yes, I know that's not a clinical term. I'm lazy and tired. And Joan says, oh, Alpha's definitely psycho, but I don't trust Lydia either. We're all on the same page. And Joan's like, oh, my God, they have a mission mix. Wow. I'll never look at movie popcorn the same way again. Very true. Okay. So it is 9:29. Let me go back to my notes. And we were about to do cast birthdays for this week, just a couple. So between now and next weekend, we have Noah Nicholas Emmerich, who is Dr. Edwin Jenner, the CDC doctor in season 1. He's the one who told Rick that everyone's infected and nothing matters. He was born February 27th, and he was from New York City. The other birthday is Charles Halford, who played the character Lon. This is interesting. He's one of the few people who's played multiple characters in multiple media for the Walking Dead franchise. So Charles has been the character Lonnie in Telltale Games. It used to be a different name for the company that owned these games, the phone app and tablet games version. Telltale Games, The Walking Dead Season 3, with Clementine and everybody. And he also played Yago, who was a savior in Season 8. His birthday is February 28th, and he is from Salt Lake City, Utah. So I'm going to give them some applause. Thanks for your work on the show, guys. Very much appreciated. Alrighty. So speaking of music, last week's episode 10, there was a song called I Am Alpha, an original by Bear McCreary. It was the music playing near the end as the Whisperers approached the Hilltop Gates. They even have a video of it, a clip on YouTube that you can watch. Bear McCreary is the guy who did the original theme for this show. And we have, as I mentioned earlier, an advance notice of tonight's song, which was featured just a few minutes ago. It's All Right Now by Eddie Harris. And that was to do with the movie theater excursion. Unaccounted for characters. I'm not going to read the whole rant about it again. I am just going to, Talking Dead, Alana Masterson, Carrie Payton, and Cooper Andrews, which I was going to announce to you guys earlier. I was going to announce in a few minutes, but now we know who's on Talking Dead. That will be Norman Reedus. Unaccounted for characters. Not going to read the whole thing, but we have some new names. Besides Heath, Sherry and Dwight, Rick, Ann/Jadis, Maggie, Oceanside, and Morgan, I think we're going to go back, so I'll read you the new names later. I will see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, 9:39, commercial break number 4. Joan and I are both at 7. Comments that you've missed. Joan has said, Gerald put dog on the trail of Henry and Lydia. Those kids are going to be so busted, yeah. But we've also seen how that's sort of become a side plot now, so we'll see. I had said, what a bitch Alpha is being about that baby. There was a pragmatism to what she said, but if you're going to choose to live like that and you're going to choose to continue to have new generations and do all that stuff, you have to adjust or you're wasting your time. You may as well not pretty much ever have babies if you're not going to make allowances for it. So I don't know what the hell she's doing. Jonah says she truly is an animal. We both voted at 7. Jonah said, I'm loving that the Kingdom peeps are back in the show, even if they're deep doo-doo at the theater right now. Yes, I agree with you. Let me pop over to my notes. So the unaccounted for characters, I've read the master list that we've been talking about. There was an article on digitalspy.com somewhat recently that mentioned a couple of new MIAs. And honestly, these are very, very long odds at this point. But the new MIAs they mentioned are Dwayne, Morgan's son, who we never see die. Although, may I add, he's in Atlanta, so I don't know how that's going to work. The Grady Memorial Hospital Survivors Season 5, also in Atlanta. And the Vatos Gang from Season 1 and 2, also in Atlanta. These are people that we never see, for sure, are gone. Pardon my sneeze. Okay, I've already read to you the Talking Dead guests, but just in case you missed it, Carrie Payton, Cooper Andrews, and Alana Masterson will be on The Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick. I'm going to give you real quick a rundown of the rest of the back half of Season 9. Next week, Episode 12, Guardians. The writer is LaToya Morgan, who we now know. The director will be Greg Nicotero, and that's for March 3rd. The week after that is Choke Point, Episode 13, written by David Leslie Johnson and Eddie Gazalian, both of whom have written for the show extensively before. That's March 10th. Let's see. Episode 14 next is called Scars. That's going to be the one where we find out what the hell's going on with Daryl and Michonne's scars on their back. I don't know the writer yet, still. The director will be Millicent Shelton for that, and that'll be March 24th. And then, no, excuse me, the 17th, pardon me. And then The Calm Before is episode 15. They have not announced the writer or the director, which means it's going to be something special that they're holding up their sleeve. That's March 24th. And then The Storm, so The Calm Before the Storm. Episode 16, writer is showrunner Angela Kang and director is Greg Nicotero, March 31st. We do not have a start date for season 5 of Fear. We assume it was mid-April as it's been in the past. Our best guess for now is April 7th through May 26th, then resume episodes 9 through 16 sometime in August, maybe the weekend of the 18th. And we are still in commercials, but probably not much longer. So I have discussion links, but I'm not going to pull them up right quite this second because we're going to go back in a hot minute. Let's see, what is this show a trailer for? The writer and director Get Out, Comes a New Nightmare, on March 22nd, some kind of horror show. We are our own worst enemy. They're really dragging this out. Let me see. super creepy. Us, March 22nd on Fandango. And we're back. See you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, 9:50, and we are at commercial break number 5. I am actually going to sneak past Joan just a skosh and going to 7:05, where she is at 7:25 with this chunk of the episode. So let me go back and get comments. So Jonah said Lydia is spinning her tails again in that last part, and I think she wants the out so she can report stuff. I also think she's got some variant of Stockholm syndrome about her mom, because it's the only mom she has. So everybody else is, you know, maybe safer, maybe better to trust, but not mom. And that's really a thing for people. Let's see. Joan says Henry won't give up that easily, though, when a Betty sneaks out and follows him. I'm not sure he won't. That could be entirely possible, because we know that this story isn't remotely over. I had wondered what became of that huge pile of real walkers in the background. I mean, last we looked, that baby was attracting them. And I know I forgot the deaf lady's name, but she ran off with the baby. Maybe they followed that noise, or the other whispers were leading the walkers away. Not really sure, but there were a lot fewer of them when we came back. So not really sure what all was going on with that. This is kind of weird. KFC's being bizarre. And Colonel Sanders is all dressed up like RoboCop, except, yeah, I don't really understand what the hell's going on with all this. Very bizarre. Okay, so, with notes, let me see. This is actually from the 21st and is about when we're going to find out about the scars. So that's somewhat recent. I may read that to you. It's from comicbook.com by Cameron Bolomono on February 21st. Let's see. We have a Geico commercial, and we do have another one, so I'll try to read this and squeeze it in. The Walking Dead looks to unravel the mystery between Michonne and Daryl's matching X scars in episode 914, appropriately titled Scars. Previously leaked episode descriptions, not linked, they're posted, but whatever, reveal a synopsis. And so this is for episode 14 coming up. An outsider's arrival forces Alexandria to rehash devastating old wounds. Eye-opening secrets from the past are revealed. Pretty sure the scars and the rift with Michonne are related items. So I guess in a couple of episodes we'll know. Michonne's scar was first revealed in November's Who Are You Now? Set after a six-year time jump that follows the disappearance of Rick Grimes, Daryl was later shown carrying the same marking. Showrunner Angela Kang previously confirmed flashbacks from the time skip would unfold in the back half of the season, beginning with tonight's episode, Bounty, which explores some of the off-screen drama that splintered Alexandria and Hilltop. We'll definitely be telling the story of what happened there, and what's kind of exciting about a six-year jump that there's the opportunity to go back and tell some of these stories. So we'll see some of what happened, Kang told Entertainment Weekly. I'm watching to see if we go back quick. But it's a deep emotional story for Michonne and for Daryl, too. So I'm excited for people to experience that. It's something that certainly has had an effect on Michonne in a deep and particular way. So that's something we want to tell people what that's about at some point. And we are back. We'll see you guys at break number 6 if there is one. Okay, guys, it's 10:02, and that is a final wrap, and my final score is going to be 7.5. Joan jumped ahead of me, and she's at 7.75, and that's valid. So let's see, last comments. Since we scored, guessing the Whisperer baby is staying at Hilltop now, and I had to actually just mention, where's baby Gracie, also Hilltop? She'd be kindergarten Gracie by now. And Jonah said she believes baby Gracie is the girl now calling Aaron dad, who is at Alexandria. Okay. I sort of lost a little bit of track with the six-year jump because not everyone has been fully covered since then. Also, there was a red symbol painted on the back of a street sign as everybody's walking by. It sort of looks like an A without the bar in the middle and then a line across the top as if the A was a T. I do not know what that red symbol means. If it's a reference from the comics, I don't really want to know any faster than they're going to let us know. I also have a quick note about music, which I will probably cover again next week. That last little bit of music was All My Dreaming by Emma Rusak, and that was the music that was at the end montage there. Yep, there goes the baby, and there goes Henry. And Joan called it, Henry's going to look for Lydia, and we both called it, Lydia is a duplicitous bitch, and there's going to be lots of betrayal next week on the next episode. And she says, damn, I hate it when I'm right about these rotten teenagers. You know, it's not even just teenagers. I always hate it when we're right about people being so duplicitous and there being layers on layers and the amount of lying. And I guess I really can't expect much better from somebody not only who grew up around that kind of abuse, but who did it in a post-apocalyptic society where there isn't child protective services, there isn't shrinks. You just live like that, and that's really the end of it. So it's unfortunate, but it is a realistic portrayal of the crap they have to put up with. So on that note, I am going to leave you guys to watch The Talking Dead with Kerry Payton and Cooper Andrews, and also, who's left? Alana Masterson, yes. Very, very good. Okay, thank you for your patience. Sorry about tonight's bumpy start. Thank you, as always, for helping and for hanging out with me, Joan. And thanks to people who may be joining us later via listening to this as a podcast or from iTunes or however you join us. Always appreciated. Thank you, guys, and see you next week. Next week, again, will be episode 12, Guardians, and that will be on March 3rd. So thank you guys for joining us, and see you then.